Let us pray. God of life, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our minds and hearts lead us to deeper understanding of you and the love you call us to live. Amen. It was about 5 years ago that I became part of the board of the United Theological College in Montreal. I was brought on as the treasurer and came on at a time of strategic planning and soul searching about the future of the college. It's been a couple of years now since UTC, United Theological College, merged into the Anglican Montreal Diocesan College, and a deeper sense of ecumenical theological education has emerged. The principal of DIO is the Reverend Dr. Jesse Zink, and his leadership, vision, and wisdom has been invaluable. While I'm not on the amalgamated board, I enjoy hearing Jesse's wisdom through a weekly email. And this week, he was reflecting on a recent ministry seminar class in which they were discussing a book that describes how society is focused on productivity and efficiency. And that one of the results of that is that many have the feeling of constantly being time stressed and yet not sure that they are focusing on things that really matter. The class participants felt the description rang true. And then the tougher question was, what does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say to a world shaped by the stress of efficiency and the spiritual unfulfillment that may result? Sounds like it was a good discussion, including wondering if churches are too influenced by the culture. And how can the church speak into and live in that culture? I read Jesse's short reflection before I read the Acts passage that we are focusing on today. And I was struck by the story of Peter and John encountering the beggar at the temple gate and Peter saying to him, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." I realize that last week I mentioned that we were finished with the story, with the focus on the stories of Peter, but I hadn't looked ahead. So here's another. So combining that little story in the newsletter from DIO and the scripture reading, I'm left wondering, what do we have to give, to offer into the world as individuals, as the church, as Easter people? A world where neighbors are hungry. A world where many are stressed out. A world where many live in loneliness. A world where self-esteem is being shaped by social media. A world where there's been a breakdown of civility and respect in public discourse. One of the details of the story of John and Peter coming upon the beggar at the temple gate is that there's a focus on seeing. "Look at us," say Peter and John. And then the beggar fixed his attention on them. If we were to ask the beggar, I wonder how many people walked by without looking at him. How many noticed him? I admit that when I pass a street person or when stopped at a traffic light and see a person coming along the row of cars, I resist making eye contact at times. Maybe that's because there's something about eye contact that makes it a lot harder to ignore the reality that I see, the reality of privilege that has been denied to others. We may not have silver or gold to offer, but what we have, we can give. What do we have to share? We may get distracted in thinking about this story by the questions we may have about how this man moves from being lame to jumping and leaping. The account of the physical healing may be a barrier to us seeing this story, not just literally, but symbolically as well. What can we offer that can give life to those who are wounded by the priorities and systems of our time? There are people, there are a lot of churches that find themselves in a time of despair and discouragement. Scarcity has become a widespread force of paralysis. We don't have enough. Enough time. Enough energy. Enough people. Enough money. It's true that resources have changed and shifted, but we also have access to other emphases and resources that can't be measured or quantified. What do we, as part of the Church of Jesus Christ, have to say into our world? What do we have to say to those who long to leap and dance, but are pushed down, kept outside the gate by messages and systems? Where do we fix our attention as Easter people? Now, the word fix has a couple of meanings or connotations. It can mean focus. How do we focus our attention? And it can mean correct or repair or reevaluate. How do we correct, reevaluate our attention? This is one of the big challenges about being church in our time. In many of our lifetimes, we have seen great change in the church, and for many of us, it's been hard to know how to adapt. Hard to change our attention, our way of being. We are puzzled by how to be faithful and relevant amidst generations with different frameworks of relating and being in the world. During Lent, I co-led a lunchtime series of four sessions for the Cluster Lenten program on how to be an inviting church. And as co-leaders, Minister South Minister and I, we were maybe not the youngest, but some of the youngest participants. And it was a tough conversation to think outside of a box about how to invite others. Knowing that as soon as there's newness in a group, the group changes. And change threatens what's familiar. In a few moments, we'll be sharing some more information about the Brookfield Community Food Cupboard. And it's been a very energizing process to plan and work for the opening of this project. But from this experience, one of the clues I have to the question of how can we be the church in this time and context is that we can offer the gift of facilitating conversation about needs and connecting various parts and interests and people to make something happen that hopefully will be greater than the sum of the parts. I think there may be some other clues about what it means to be church. Peter and John affirmed the worth of the man begging. Too bad the story didn't give him the dignity of a name. The resources of faith, love, hope, trust, dignity, worth are not limited. And we should never let those gifts come under the spell of scarcity. We're invited to live with a generosity of hope, of possibility, of dignity, and worth. Sometimes it only takes a spark. One of the things that I've been learning from working on the Food Cupboard Project is the gift of faith and trust. We don't know where we're going to get enough food to make this cupboard sustainable. But there's a sense of trust that it'll come. There has been great energy and enthusiasm from various individuals and groups, so we need to find ways to channel the generosity and the hope. Maybe as the church, we know something about that. Maybe as the church, we will learn something about that. As Easter people, we live with wonder and mystery of hope. We are invited to imagine how new life can emerge. We are invited to look and to see and to pay attention to the needs around us. We're invited to remember that the church is not the building. It's the people. And so we need to be the church into the community and world. So let's fix our attention by being Easter people. And there's joy in that focus and possibility. What we offer, what we share, what we live is in response to all that we have received in trust and promise. Amen.